Now, back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and Rick, we have with us as our guest on the line, Dr. Ben Comery, who is a board-certified veterinary oral surgeon and dentist. His background includes 22 years in general practice and 17 years as adjunct faculty at Michigan State University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Comery.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Doctor, is the concept of dentistry for animals as rare as it seems to be?
Well, not in my world.
It's every day.
Yeah, that's all I do all day long every day.
But it doesn't seem like there are many of you.
Well, sadly, there really aren't, but we're working on it. In the world, there are about 120 board-certified veterinary dentists as I am. Wow. I'm one of those old codgers that's been around for a long time, and I hate to think of myself as one of the originals, but I am, and there were eight of us a lot of years ago that got the ball rolling at a Region 2 American Animal Hospital Association meeting down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 1972. So been doing it for a few years. And what's happened as with anything, lo and behold, the discovery has been that animals have teeth. And people are beginning to flip the lips and saying, oh, my golly, there's something going on in the oral cavity. Mm-hmm. And so there is a recognition. The other things that have happened in my career is that I've seen animals come from the backyard into the bedroom under the covers with people. Back in the day when I first got into veterinary medicine, you'd ask the pet owner, is it an indoor or outdoor dog? Mm-hmm. I don't even ask that anymore. I don't even have it on my form anymore because they're all indoors. They're in the bedroom. They're under the covers. So the awareness of halitosis and some of the other signals that something is amok in the animal's mouth is far more compelling than it was in years past. I mean, people didn't know, you know, there's a dog out in the backyard and it seems to be okay, and that would be that.
Well, Doctor, it's really funny that you bring up the whole issue of halitosis because I used to have a friend of mine who was a very wealthy gentleman, had a beautiful dog, but I've got to tell you, that dog had the worst breath of any dog in the world, and his name was Halsey. So we used to call him Halitosis. And it's very funny that you bring that up because you couldn't go near the dog in spite of it being a beautiful dog. Sure. For just that reason. So I can see where that's a big need area.
I got a question just on that note. Wouldn't that be one of the more obvious circumstances where you need to really kind of investigate a little bit and find out what the problem is? And maybe you can give us some inspirational ideas of the pet owner. When do we know we have a problem, and when are the most obvious and the least obvious times that we tend to have a problem?
Sure. First off, there are some generalizations that one can make, and clearly a smaller breed dog is going to have more problems than large dogs as a mm-hmm. rule, not always, of mm-hmm. course. And certainly the older the animal compared to the younger animal. Now, as we speak, I have a three-year-old cat we finished up some procedures on. It's 3 years old with some pretty significant periodontal disease. So just because it's a young animal does not necessarily mean that it's going to be free of that, and that's one of the misconceptions. But as a general rule of thumb, I mean, if the dog comes or the kitty comes over and breathes on you and you about gag, that's never good. And what one ought to do is to flip the lips and not look at just the front of the mouth, but to look in the back of the mouth under the teeth that are underneath the eyes or the fourth premolars, to look at those. If they're disgusting with all kinds of brown, gnarly, nasty, yucky-looking stuff on it, that's not good. Mm-hmm. If you look at the teeth and they're, as best as you can tell, the darn things look spotless, then one could assume that that odor is coming from the GI tract, or maybe it's a garbage picker, or maybe it's eating poop out in the backyard, but from some other source. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, probably 85-90% of the time, No, it's from periodontal disease, and there's an abscessed tooth in there. There's something that's really a disaster. So halitosis, yeah, that's one of the cardinal things that we clue on, and it's one of the reasons why owners bring the animals in to me.
So one thing I'm wondering is everybody has their own family doctor, and just like we have our own family doctor, but veterinarian doctor anyhow, when do we go to them and when do we go to you? Is it a referral type situation where you go to your own family veterinarian and then he says, hey, I've got this fantastic dentistry vet down in Ann Arbor, and I think you need to go there? Or is it something that the average person needs to know that you're just a better option?
Well, I don't know that a better option. I think there are more things that I do in my practice compared to a GP. But bottom line, I think a competent small animal practitioner can do the garden variety lion's share of what needs to be done.
Okay.
And the questions that the pet owner needs to ask their veterinarian, can you take intraoral x-rays? When you go to the human dentist and you sit in that chair and he says, bite down, you're chomping down on those films for a reason. And the reason is because you can only see the one-third of the tooth structure. Two-thirds mm-hmm. of the tooth structure is below the gum line. So if the pet owner takes the animal in, hey, can you take intraoral x-rays? And the veterinarian says, sure, of course. We do it every day. Rock and roll. That person is going to be able to assess the mouth, decide what is in their capabilities of their equipment and all, and what's out of their league. And the good veterinarians will realize, ooh, we have an endodontic problem here. I don't do root canals. I know a guy who does. And so those are the cases that get turfed to me. If the pet owner goes into the veterinary hospital and says, do you take intraoral x-rays? Ooh, that's kind of a red flag, because again, unless you have Superman X-ray vision, you have no clue what's going on. So I think the pet owner can really get great service for a well-instrumented small animal practitioner, and there's no reason for them to come to me.
Okay.
I mean, they can take care of that and do a great job, and if there is something that's discovered on the x-rays, okay, you know, maybe the tooth needs to be removed, maybe the animal needs to come see me.
Well, in one question I have is I had a dog several years ago that I couldn't have go in to have his teeth cleaned because they were afraid it had maybe gotten to the point there was some affecting in the it had an enlarged heart, and so they were concerned about essentially, you know, letting him, you know, trying to operate on him because the and anesthesia procedure sure. would be harmful. Can you comment on that? Has things changed at all about that? Or
changed big time. I worked at the Animal Medical Center in New York City for 3 years. I kind of had a brain cramp and left the Midwest where normal people live and went to the East Coast and thinking I could handle it. I'll tell you, that's a whole different story. One of my favorite cases there were the cats and the dogs coming from the 8th floor in that building. And the only reason they're coming from the 8th floor is because they had a CT scan. And the only reason they had that is because they had a brain tumor. And so they'd bring these animals down under anesthesia, and they'd say, oh, Ben, can you clean its teeth up while we have it asleep? You know, the critter's got a brain tumor, for God's sakes. And you want me to clean the teeth? What's wrong with this picture? You know, so the point of the story is that really age is not a disease, and the medical conditions that would preclude anesthesia in this day and age are few and far between.
Okay.
We all have our stories of animals that have come in, that things have been discovered while they are asleep that you didn't have a clue. And, I'll change the rules here a little bit. But I'll tell you, the other take-home message that I would give the pet owner of the questions to ask their veterinarian is, how do you monitor the patients under anesthesia? If the answer is, well, we have a technician watching the animal, that's not good enough.
Okay.
You need a blood pressure machine, you need EKGs, pulse ox, all that other stuff. The instrumentation today is spectacular, and there's really little, if any, reason to have a catastrophic event under anesthesia. I mean, you can get blindsided, of course, but boy, I'll tell you what, it is so rare when you're properly instrumented. And the better practices have all that stuff, and you hook the animals up to the monitors and rock and roll, and away you go. So while we all have a fear of anesthesia, in this day and age, that's not the consideration. The consideration are the goals attainable. And if you have an animal that has just a hopeless cancer, I mean, what's the point? I mean,
right.
You know, I'm not going to be able to do much for this animal. But I deal with 19, 20-year-old cats all the time that have abscessed teeth. And you think, good grief, we can get this kitty down and get these rotten teeth out of there and, you know, make this quality of life a whole lot better. And if that was my mouth, I'd want the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting is that we literally had that dog for another 10 years. So,
yeah.
So it was one of those situations, had I had alternative advice, I might very well have been able to remedy some of its dental problems.
I think that goes with an awful lot of this stuff, too, absolutely. And, I mean, I tell the students, not to dwell on anesthesia, but I tell the students when I got out of vet school, to give you an idea of my age, my predecessor in a small animal practice was anesthetizing cats with ether. Now, that dates me.
Yeah, that,
and,
that,
and,
that sure
and
does.
The students look at me, and they, oh, my God, you're older than the hills. And, I've been around the block a couple of times. But the one benefit of ether in cats is it makes you a very speedy surgeon. I'll tell you what, you don't answer the telephone and go potty and get a cup of coffee. You go at warp speed.
Uh-huh.
And I hated that drug. And now with the sevoflurane and the other products that are out there, it's just a bazillion percent better.
Interesting. We're speaking this morning with Dr. Ben Comrie, who is a board-certified veterinary oral surgeon, and he also happens to be the author of two textbooks in veterinary dentistry and lectures throughout the United States. Dr. Comrie, of all the things you've mentioned this morning, the procedures, the new medicine, what comes to my mind is that's expensive. And it makes me think about a topic we discussed on the show in the last couple of weeks, which is the issue of pet insurance. What is your stand on pet insurance? Is it something you take? Is it something you recommend?
Sure. I'm a fan of pet insurance. The policies have gotten a lot better than in previous years, as I've sort of implied. I've been around for a couple of years doing this stuff, and I've watched insurance companies come and go. But there's the strong have survived, and there are some good companies out there that really do a terrific job. And the instrumentation, the equipment, everything that we use, the MRI, CT scans, the whole bit, you know, that comes with a price tag. And certainly I think pet insurance is something that pet owners should look at very seriously. In my field, root canals are now covered. In years past, they weren't covered. And so an animal would come in with a fractured tooth, and we'd want to try to save it. The insurance would cover the extraction, but they wouldn't cover fixing it. And now we see lots of animals and lots of companies that will actually cover that. So I think there's some merit to it. And most of these policies are pretty user-friendly. They'll come in, and we do the deed and fill all the forms out, and the owners submit it and get reimbursed, and you know, to the tune of whatever the policy provides. And it's been a pretty neat thing. So to answer your question, sure, I think it's a good thing. As with any product, shop wisely. I mean, ask a lot of questions and find out what the track record of the company is. But VPI stood the test of time. I've heard nothing but good things with the Purina product. They had a company that they have with their insurance, and Humane Society's got one that's pretty decent. So there are good products out there.
Interesting. And, Doctor, unfortunately, we're running out of time for our interview today, but if any of our listeners are interested in coming to see you or getting your advice, because this is a new topic to them, is there a website that people can go to or a way to contact you?
Sure. The website that I have is www.vetdentistry.com, and vet dentistry is one word, D-E-N-T-I-S-T-R-Y. You got to know how to spell dentistry, so it's vetdentistry.com. And there are ways of emailing me through that, or if they're so inclined to fill out the scheduler and request an appointment, to that sort of thing. I tried to make my website as much informational as possible, and you know, not the glitz and glitter and fluffy stuff, but to actually put some hard data and how I feel about a lot of the treatments. And there's some pictures in there that people can kind of try to match and say, okay, ooh, my dog looks like that. Ooh, that's not good. But that's probably the best way of doing it on the internet. And then if there's, and my telephone number's on it and all that, for getting hold of me in Ann Arbor.
Fantastic. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Ben Comrie, a board-certified veterinarian, oral surgeon, and dentist. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
Be sure to listen to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 1320 a.m. WILS. If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320wils.com and click on the Listen Live link. Now we're gonna be-